House Bill 1030. Are there proponents of House Bill 1030? Human Services is busy this morning.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Patty Warkentine, here with the Department of Human Services, and here on House Bill 1030. The Department of Human Services is submitting this legislation on behalf of the two public VR agencies here in South Dakota, the Division of Rehabilitation Services and the Division of Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired. Both of these divisions under the Department of Human Services are the public vocational rehabilitation agencies. And because of that, they are required to follow the Federal Rehab Act, which was recently amended in 1998, and has an oversight by the Rehabilitation Services Administration, which is our federal oversight partner. With this legislation, the Federal Rehab Act, which I've already alluded to as our federal guidelines, they do allow for a financial means test for certain services such as medical restoration, training books and materials, transportation, and tuition and fees. Both of these divisions of public vocational rehabilitation are not allowed, according to federal law, to apply any type of financial means test to the following list of services. Services in VR such as assessment, guidance and counseling, any type of referral services, job placement, job retention, job search, follow-along, supported employment for individuals with significant disabilities, transition services for any students with disabilities, services to a family of an individual with a disability, interpreter services, which we've talked about here this morning, rehabilitation teaching services, orientation and mobility services for the blind and visually impaired, and rehabilitation technology. As you can see by that list that's specifically outlined in our Federal Rehab Act, there are many services which we are not allowed to apply any type of financial means test to. The operative word in the federal law is may for the other services listed above, which does include tuition and fees for post-secondary education. Both of these divisions of public VR did make a policy change that did start to begin to apply a financial means test for tuition and fees for students who are on an approved plan in VR who are attending post-secondary academic or training. This policy went into effect in October of 1999, and the policy went into effect only after some pretty lengthy and great discussions at two state plan public meetings, both in 1999 and 2000, with a lot of public input. We also, at the time, we implemented the policy to start looking at their financial means when they're going to school, was a grandfather clause. So the beginning date for new consumers was October of 1999, but any student or consumer who was on an approved plan that included the goal of attending post-secondary education was grandfathered in, and this policy did not affect them. So students who were on a plan could be grandfathered in up to 4 years if they were going to a four-year college education. We've been operating under this policy, like I said, since October of 1999, and our federal partner, the Rehabilitation Services Administration, took part in our state plan meetings publicly back in April of 1999. They were here to hear the voice and the input of all of our consumers statewide. And with all that information, our state plan has been approved on a yearly basis to include the fact that we can take a financial means test for tuition and fees. All of our VR counselors working across the state in both divisions have been thoroughly trained on how to apply this financial means test formula. And again, there are certain services that we do not and will not apply financial means test to. It's based on 185% of the federal poverty guidelines, with exclusions for extenuating circumstances to include things such as daycare expenses, disability-related expenses, and then extenuating circumstances. Our policy also addresses the fact that if it's an individualized case and it would need to be reviewed outside of our VR counselors that are working across the state, it can be referred up to PEER, to the state office for approval. The financial means test is not all or nothing. It's not there to hurt or to harm anyone. If a family does have the financial resources to pay all a portion of anything related to their tuition and fees, that's what we're asking them to do. We're not trying to exclude anyone from looking at post-secondary education as part of their plan. So that's the basics of the reason we've added this to our legislative bill. As you see there, there's a list of services for both divisions already in state law. This policy is in effect, has been approved by the Federal Rehabilitation Services Administration. So by adding this to state law, it is clear to any consumer who is involved in our services exactly what services will be subject to financial lien.
All right, then. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Staggers.
Could you tell us what the income level is at 185%?
Yes, I can. And it depends on the number of family members. The example that I have, a family of five with a gross income of like $69,900, 185% of that poverty level would be minusing off $36,900. So what that person would have available to pay for services would be the remainder of $33,000. So we subtract off 185% of their adjusted gross income. I think I do have a table also that lists even like one family member, two family members, if I could have a moment to find that. Here we go. A family of one, the 185% of poverty level is you're making $15,448. A family of two, $20,813. A family of three, $26,178. A family of four, $31,543. I don't know how you want me to go, a family of five. And these are effective as of May of 2000. We get them each year in the federal poverty levels from the federal government.
Are there further questions from the committee? Senator Olson.
Patty, you know, you mentioned that it seems like we start with the federal poverty level. I mean, we're using that particular standard, and then we'll accept some variances for that. Are you familiar with the, I think it's a subsistency project or self-sufficiency project?
No, I'm not.
I mean, I like the idea, but I mean, they have greatly expanded, you know, how we use, you know, legislatively, we always use federal poverty rate,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many more inputs, I think, that are important to understand what a living.
Yeah. Is a self-sufficiency, I did remember hearing of that. It's something that's based South Dakota only, based on demographics, taking into rural population.
Rents and child care.
Absolutely.
And transportation.
I've heard of that, but I don't have much more knowledge besides that.
Further questions from the committee? Hearing none, then, do we have further proponents of House Bill 1030? Further proponents? Are there any opponents of House Bill 1030? Opponents of House Bill 1030. Hearing none, then we'll close to committee action and or discussion. Senator Sutton.
I would move do pass on House Bill 1030.
Sutton moves do pass. Seconded Ham. Clerk will call the roll.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Staggers?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 1030. Anybody here got a problem with the consent calendar? Move consent by Dietrich, seconded Ham. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. House Bill 1030. Well, you're very good this morning. House Bill 1030 will go out on the consent calendar.
Got anything out of here.
All right, then. We can visit for a while, or we could...
you bet the other way,
Ed?
Moved Sutton's second Dietrich to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, then. We are adjourned.